It's Fans of Patrol Time. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is a sensitive poet herself, Miss Tipplebot. Say hello to the people, Tiff.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a great day, man. It's a great day. And, you know, we're a day late. We are a day late. And
I apologize. That is totally my fault. I know you would never throw me under the bus.
Never.
But
they didn't need to know that, Tiff. They didn't need to know that, Tiff.
They want to know. They want to know how stupid I am. Guys, because of our 3-day weekend,
yeah.
I legitimately thought yesterday was Monday.
Yeah.
And so I made a boo-boo and forgot about recording yesterday.
Oh, Tiff, it's not that big of a... you know what? Here's the worst part is I was almost on the same page. If it wasn't for my wife that said, hey, don't you got to watch that movie? I would have been in the same boat because it felt like it felt like Tuesday was Monday.
I was, as a matter of fact, so you guys, Montego texts me, I'm ready to record when you are. For a brief moment, when I got that text message, I was like, oh no, he's mistaken. Like for the briefest of seconds.
It's his fault.
I was like, oh, right. And then I was like, oh fuck. So we appreciate your patience, everybody.
Absolutely, y'all. Y'all don't understand. We love doing a lockdown show, man. So it's not like it's some kind of burden that got in the way. It's just
an honest mistake.
Right. You got to watch the movie. We couldn't just do it without the movie. So
it would be very interesting.
All right. We're going to talk for 20 minutes and then we're going to get the hell out of here. So welcome to Fans of Patrol Lockdown Edition. Lockdown. Number 9, man. Is it 9 or 8? This is 9. It's 8.
Oh, my God. We've all lost track of time. Time is meaningless in the void of lockdown.
You goddamn right. So, you know, the country is slowly unlocking here and there, and people are acting a fool and partying, and we're going to have a second wave because of Memorial Day, what it looks like the news is saying. We're all going to be back in the house. Thank y'all. Anyway.
No.
I'm not saying, man, because, you know, people are tripping this shit. This thing ain't went nowhere. Ain't no cure. Ain't no antivirus. Ain't nothing. You know, and, you know, going out there, act a fool. I'm staying in the house anyway. This week, man, we're doing Lovebirds, man. Now, there's a bunch of Lovebirds. This is Lovebirds, all one word. That's how you have to put it in to see what they're doing.
I think it's The Lovebirds.
It is. Oh, look at that little tiny little the in the movie thing. You're right. The Lovebirds. And this movie stars.
But they're right. There's several different ones.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot. Because when I you know, try to put it in IMDb, it was like Lovebirds. I was like, damn, wait a minute. And none of them were it. You know. So we got a treat, boys and girls. This was supposed to come to the theaters, man. But if you're a lucky Netflix person, they decided that, hey, we're going to buy that and we're going to throw it right on Netflix, man. You know, so it never came. It never made it to the theaters, man. And so 2020 Lovebirds, this is a rated R, 1 hour, 26 minutes, comedy, action, crime, mystery, romance, thriller.
Yeah, bullshit. It's whatever. Yeah.
Right. So it stars Issa Rae, who I have no...
I'm going to do this. Issa Rae, who I absolutely fucking love.
I've never seen her before, Tiff, until this movie.
She's... Okay, well, she is in an HBO show called Insecure.
Oh, is
she
that her?
She wrote and directed that show.
I got you. I know who that is now. Yeah.
That's her. But I've also... she's very funny. I've also read her book.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy her. And then there's Kumail Nanjiani...
Yes.
Who I also love and is a comedian.
Wasn't he an Uber?
Who you're probably more familiar with.
Yeah, he was an Uber, right? Stuper.
Stuber, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got really really buff from that.
Did he? Check him out, huh?
I'm going to send you a picture, and then we'll also post this picture on our Instagram. Because
okay.
It's insane, ladies and gentlemen. anyway, they are the main stars of this movie. There
yes.
are some Paul Sparks, Anna Camp...
Yes.
There's other people in this movie, but like not, they don't matter.
Yeah, they're kind of in and out in different shots here and there and stuff like that. So, man, before we get rolling 100%, let's hit one word. Tip, what you got for me?
Fun.
Okay.
Yes.
My one word is going to be trying.
That's crazy. It's really weird that you wouldn't like this, necessarily.
No, I did not say not like it. it's got a lot of spaces for me and a lot of, I'm glad I didn't pay for it. Let's put it that way. Let's put it that way. Whoa, Tiff! I got your text with the transformation from our star here. Shit, he goddamn! I want to look like that. Yeah. I'm so tired of having a little flab. I want to look like that. Shit.
You guys, it is hard to understand.
Damn.
Unless you see this photo.
Yeah, we got to put it up when we release the movie. That's for sure. That's for sure.
We will put it up. It is crazy. He did this for fun, I guess, is what my understanding of it is, because he worked on that, as we just said, he worked on Stuber with Dave Bautista, mm-hmm. and apparently everyone who works with Dave Bautista comes away like a fitness junkie.
Well, good for Dave to have that influence, that positive influence with people, you know, because you could just be like, look at me, I dig it all the women and screw you. But he got to be a pretty decent dude if he inspires people to do that kind of stuff. You know, you never hear that about The Rock, you know.
Right.
So
it's very interesting to see. And like the movie kind of shows him in profile, but they never show his body really.
No.
In this movie. So
his before picture, boys and girls, it looks like me now. His after picture is my dream. It is my dream.
It is. And he was never like a fat person. It's just
flabby.
He wasn't very muscular.
He needs work, like me. You know, shit. This lockdown, Tiff, this lockdown has put a hurting on your boy. I didn't gain like 20 pounds. I gained 20 pounds. I lost 10 pounds last week, so I'm trying to come down now. You know, I just was like drinking and eating and everything, man. Look, we ain't even talking about the movie, but I'm telling you.
Lockdown is a terrible time for us all.
Lockdown, I was like so fat. I gained like 25 pounds. And so I was like, whoa. And so last week I lost 10 pounds, you know, so I'm on the mend now. I'm like back focused trying to do my duties. But 25 mm-hmm. pounds. But I will say this, Tifflebot. It was very nice eating and drinking anything I wanted when I wanted. It was great. But it's over. You can only sit in there so long. Oh, shoot. So let's get it on now, man.
All right.
So, Lovebirds, man. Was interested in this movie from the very first moment I saw it. And I'm not a rom-com mm-hmm. type of person. But I was very interested in the diversity of the couple. I saw it and I said, yes. More of that, mm-hmm. more of that, less of that shit where you got Sally Gumdrops and Brad doing a movie and we're supposed to fall in love with them. And you know what I'm talking about, Tifflebot. Give us something different, man.
They're all
man.
Sally Gumdrops.
Yeah, they're all Sally Gumdrops and they're all Brad. Every last rom-com movie. But here we go with something different, with some diverse characters, different backgrounds, don't matter, we're in love. Mwah. You want to say American Dream? That's the American Dream right there, man. Mm-hmm. So I was interested just from that alone. So, yes. Man, you know, movie starts, man, and we find this couple, and they're courting. They're on their first date, and I really like this opening sequence and how the director did this, because you never kind of really saw a couple just meet and just fall in love like this. How did this spank you?
Yeah, it's mostly a very non-traditional way to display it, but like they're getting the rom-com kind of feel established.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very fun first day for them. They didn't want to leave each other, and we all kind of been there, but I guess this couple, they mm-hmm. took it to another level, because I never just went with it and just stayed with the person, stayed with the person all day, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But it was really cute to see, you know. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Look at them. Millennials right. in love. Yeah. And so, you know, I didn't really see it coming that when they jumped 4 years later. You know, I didn't think they were going to do that. But they did, mm-hmm. you know, 4 years later, and they like on the brink of breaking up. Everything is an argument, you know. And if you.
So I want to say.
Go ahead, because I got something to say, too.
Okay. We might be about to say similar things right. or about the same thing.
Right.
So they've been in a relationship for 4 years. They're having this argument. And then it turns out that they're arguing, or at least the argument started, because he didn't believe they could win the Amazing Race.
The whole argument was Amazing Race, but it was like a symptom of the greater problems in the relationship. Right. You know.
I just love it because it is so true. If you've been in a relationship for a long time, and we'll say a long time is anywhere from like 3 years on up, even 2 years, long enough to know a person, then there are those weird arguments where, like, you're mad about something else.
Yeah.
But somehow they get under your skin about The Amazing Race. And then all of a sudden you're fighting.
Yeah, they were seriously fighting, too. I mean, it was to the death. And what got me is that I'm thinking about, you know, these movies make you think about, you know, your own stuff. And it's always been my experience that with couples, you get past that 5 years, that first 5 years, whoo, you are a pro. But that first 5 years, that fifth year from every couple that I've known, I've been married like 20 years. You know, that first 5 years, I've never talked to a couple who made it past that that was like, man, I thought he was about, it was over. And so I was looking at them with that 4 year, like, oh, shit, they probably hitting that. This is that part where it's bad, you know. So anyway, they're in the middle of this, and this is the whole crux of the movie here, because they're in the middle of this 4 to 5 year, like, bad part that they're having in their lives that they got to get over or separate. So they're going to a dinner party, and they're fighting all the way to the dinner party. If you've ever been in a relationship, this has happened to everybody. Going to somewhere, pretending like you're not mad. This shit was great.
Well, you're trying to get it all out before you get there. And you think, and even if everyone knows who's ever fought with a person, you reach the end of your argument maybe before you get there, but you're still not satisfied, still mad.
Hell
but
no.
You have to pretend like, you're right. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, I don't want these efforts to think that I can't handle my woman over here, you know, that we having problems. So, again, Tiff, I found a lot of this movie, some parts were very trying for me, and some of it was very delightful for me. And this part of the movie, mm-hmm. I found very delightful. So they get in this car, and they start driving to their buddy's dinner party. So they have, you know, he, she friends. Everybody's a couple. They're going to a couple's party. And as they're going, and this is one of the things I love. I thought about Us when this part of the movie happened, because they started nicknaming everybody, you know. So a guy with a bicycle whose name in the movie is Bicycle. They hit him because they're arguing. And he gets up. You kind of see this in the trailer. And he starts going away. And they're like, you know, wow, we just hit somebody. Guy comes along and says, I'm a cop. Jumps in the car. And they're driving. Now, this was a pretty good scene, in my opinion. Because, first of all, I don't give a damn if you come flashing a federal badge to me. You ain't taking my damn car. We're not getting in hot pursuit.
Right.
But he jumps in the car and they're running. Now, the funny part of this scene, in my opinion, was their commentary during the chase. So, I mean, what about you, Deb?
So there's so many funny things that they say in this movie that, like, I should have written them down, because I wanted to, like, reference them when we were talking now. But yes, they're, like, so excited to be part of this.
Yeah.
Chase, and so they're like, get him.
Yeah, he's like, he knows the city. He's like, cut down fourth, and you can cut him off on third. Shit, you know. And so, you know, they just get excited, man. And they, you know, little did they know that this cop was gonna hit this guy. Not only hit him, run him over several times, and the look on their faces while this cop is like literally murdering this dude was actually pretty good. You know, pretty good.
Right. Tip. They just like looked so upset. Like they're just like, oh no. And then after it's all over, when he says, I don't think he's a cop.
His subtle expressions in this movie were gold. You know, they were really, really good. But I cannot take anything away from, what is her name? Asa?
Issa Rae,
because she, she, as much as he gave, she gave back. And the chemistry actually, in my opinion, worked really good. You know, worked really good.
I agree. I could see them as a couple.
Yeah. It was very strong and very connected. And they get out of the car and people think that they murdered this dude. And it was pretty funny, which the trailer actually showed us again. And I wish the trailer wouldn't have showed us a lot of these jokes. The man runs off and leaves the woman there by herself to take the blame. You know, not to take the blame, but he just cowered out. And that shit was funny to me, man, because then she went chasing him, you know.
There's a lot of very this is like what I will say about this movie is there's a lot of really great and subtle without – like they make it funny, but they're making commentary on our current – political and situations.
Oh yeah.
Because so these two white hipsters see the body.
Big time.
And they rode over, they're like, oh my God, he's dead. And they're taking like selfies with it and stuff. But then she calls one of the white hipster lady calls the police.
That was funny.
And she goes she says something funny. Like a black woman and a brown man killed a man. And I'm not saying that because they are a black woman and a brown man.
I'm not racist by no means.
So terrible.
But so that was funny to me, man. So they take off and, you know, they're on a run from this moment on. You know, they don't want to, you know, they figure they're effed, you know, because they know their name because they're just being goofballs calling each other's names. And they end up in a diner. And they're trying to, like, gather themselves and figure out what to do next because they're assuming that they're murder suspects at this point. And they're in that diner, and they're talking to each other. But I failed to mention that they actually had a – right before they hit the guy, broke up, had an argument and broke up right before the crash hit. So they're not a couple but a couple at this point in the movie. And they're in this diner, and I think the funniest thing, they're trying to figure out their next move. And when the cop calls and the lady comes and starts asking them have they decided what they wanted, I thought that was pretty funny, man.
That,
you know, because she's
I really enjoy.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's also a part of this where they're role playing. They're like, he's like, we should just go to the cops. And she's like, okay. And then they role play what it would be like if he talked to the cops.
And it's really subtle, which makes it cool because they're not overdoing it.
Yes, but it's very funny.
Yeah.
Right, it's not over the top, but it's also very much like, I will say that this movie does do really well is they get couples right.
Yeah.
This is the kind of like weird shit that you do, even if you weren't talking about avoiding getting run up by the cops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like when she said, I'm covering, this is me covering the camera as I beat your ass, you know, and I was like, yeah. But she didn't make a big deal about it, which made it funny. You know what I'm saying? She just, you know, they were just having this conversation. And I agree with you, Tef. That's one of the things I liked about it. Some of the things I didn't like about it was some of, like, in the more harrowing situations where we're still cracking jokes and shit like that. It was just like, oh, God. And I couldn't also take my mind off of the fact that if you've seen Date Night, you've basically seen this movie, a less funnier version of this movie. Date Night, I'm not a rom-com type of a guy, but... Date Night is with Steve Carell. Is oh my God, that movie is hilarious to me. I love it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's this. It's really this. It's really really it's so similar that I don't think I could. It's part of the reason why I said it was trying. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Because it was like, damn, you know, Date Night is so much more funnier, and Tina Fey and Dave Carell. I mean, Steve Carell, they were the stars in it. And it's very super similar. It's like this is the millennial version of Date Night. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I felt like it was so trying, you know. And maybe if you've never seen it and you enjoyed it so much, maybe that's the reason why you enjoyed it more than I did. That makes actually a lot of sense why you enjoyed it as much as you did. Anyway, saying all that, let's move on, man. So they decide they're going to, for some reason, because she has this phone, they're gonna like track down the killer, and that I thought this shit was funny.
They're gonna do it so they can have evidence to provide to the cops to prove that they're innocent.
To free themselves, right? So they get this thing about meeting on a terrace, and they go into this club, and it's just they're in New Orleans, and it seems to be. I don't know if it's Mardi Gras. I don't think it's Mardi Gras, but
no, I think that stuff happens all the time in New Orleans. Like if you're not from there and you're visiting, you get the beads.
I see. That's what I was thought, because I've never been to New Orleans, and I was like, I wonder if it's like this all the time, but just on steroids when you know, Fat Tuesday and all that stuff. So they go to this place, and it's a cool place, and you know they're trying to blend in. First of all, they go to the gas station, and they buy those ridiculous clothes. Shit. Now that was funny, Tiff. That was funny.
Wait, is it? That's after this.
Was it? I thought it was before.
Yeah, because they get kicked by the horse. Sorry, just skip ahead. And then they go get different clothes.
You are absolutely right. They go in this club to meet this contact of this person who they call Bicycle.
Edie.
Right. So they see her, and they follow her.
Dressed like a spy.
Just like a goddamn. It's so crazy looking, you know. She was dressed like that.
That's the little touches in this movie that, like, so the director of this movie is Michael Showalter. Mm-hmm. Michael Showalter is very famous from being, like, from The State, which is a sketch comedy. He was in Stella, but he also wrote Hot American Summer.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, damn, he's big time. Yeah, right.
So, like, weird comedy. So, like, there's just little pieces like that are in this. And so they go, Edie is, like, who, you know, this is not who she expected. That wasn't her contact. But she's like, you know, come with me. Then they knock them both out.
And they get the old conk on the head and wake up in the barn. And, you know, this was a trip at this point because, you know, the lady is all Southern and talking all this crap. And she says, you can't do that. The congressman is going to have his revenge or some shit like that. And then we find out it's a real congressman. And he's trying to hide his face. And she's like, what are you hiding his face for? And they're tied up. I thought this was cool. And then the grease, the choice between the grease and the horse was, even though I saw it in the trailer, the shit was still funny when the horse kicked the dude. And he's like, take the grease.
Take the grease.
And man, that was a lot of grease in that damn pan, Tev. I was like,
shit. That was so, like, here's the thing. This part of the movie, even though it's whatever, I know it's a film. I am terrified of somebody pouring something hot on me.
Woo! I'm sitting there looking at that grease like, God damn, that shit is over. It's over.
I would rather be kicked by a horse. Although,
that horse
be fair,
that horse would have killed him.
Honestly, that would have killed him.
Killed him instantly. Probably instantly. Yeah. No way in the world you're surviving that, dude. But it's a comedy. But the
right, it's funny.
The gem of the scene was when the two couples, you know, started fighting each other, and nobody could fight. They throwing shit at each other. Shit, you know, it was the congressman and his wife, and this guy and his woman, and they got pitchforks and dumb shit, and the shit was, it was just the luck of the draw who was gonna win that because nobody could fight. They ran out of there, and they got the best of them. And ran out of there. And like you said, at this point, they go to the supermarket, the overnight drugstore, and buy entire outfits. And that shit was funny. Especially when they went and checked them out. They didn't even take off the tags. They were sitting there putting their ass up
on
the
thing. I love that. It is such a fucking realistic scene. Where if you've ever, like, I remember as a kid having to, like, buy, like, a replacement shirt at, like, Kmart if I vomited on myself or something like that.
Right, right, right.
And then not even taking the tag off and having it beeped.
Everything. You know, the shoes, the hat, and then she wears that. She gets that ridiculous unicorn outfit and shit. So now they look like they just, like, actually not that out of the, you know, they look different from themselves, but not that, or, you know, extraordinary being in a party city of the world, you know. So they're still on. They managed to save the phones, and they're still on the case, right? So now they're going to go and meet up with the college boys, if my memory serves me well.
Yep, that's correct.
They go in there, and they're having a frat party. And I love the fact that they could actually act a fool in that back room, and there was so much noise in the front room that nobody could hear them fighting the college boy and all the shit that was going on. And they found out that it was like some conspiracy of blackmail that they just happened to walk into. And so this part, you know, was moving the plot along, Tef, and so I'm digging it. It's cool. And but it really did surprise me when everybody ended up being dead and they didn't know it, you know, because the cop was in the apartment killing every damn body.
So when they're interrogating the frat boy,
yeah.
And like they just say whatever is on their mind, and she's just like, bitch.
Right, beanbag bitch. Like it had force behind it and stuff because they were such amateurs at doing this. That was an adorable scene to me. I liked it. You know, you can copy another movie, but this movie was able to, you know, step to the side by doing different things like that, that, you know, was pretty cool, in my opinion. So,
right.
The guy kills everybody, and who they call Mustache. Like I said, everybody has pseudo names in this thing, and I love it. I kept thinking about Fans of Patrol. I was like, look, his name is Mustache. This bicycle. This is the senator. This is the wife. And so now they decide that they have this phone, and they need to go unlock it, and they go to their friend's house because He's jealous of the guy named, what was his name? Was it Brad or some shit like that? Was that his name?
Oh, it's such a common name.
Right, right. And
it was, Steve, Brad, right. Something like that.
He hated him because he was kept telling used jokes from, what's that comedian name he was calling on?
Cat Williams.
Cat Williams and shit. And then he made the joke, and then later on at the scene, which was brilliant, the guy was making the same joke at the party, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny, you know, because so he's not just being a jealous asshole. He's actually telling the truth about this dude. So
right.
they show up in them ridiculous outfits, Tiff. Holy shit. And I really like this scene. What about you?
I really like it, too, because their friends all are very, like, well, because it's off behavior for them. So they're like, want to believe they're friends. But at the same time, you can just tell they're like, what the fuck?
Right.
So they say like, oh, we were at a boxing.
Fight club or some shit like that, right? They're boxing.
Boxing club, right.
And he can't remember nothing. So that was cool. So he has a talk with the guy that he believes that he likes her, and ends up finding out, hey, so here we go with the confirmations from different people of, you know, that their life, everybody else's life isn't perfect, because she has a conversation with her girlfriend and she thinks that her and her man is a perfect couple, and find out that they're worse than they are. And then he talks to the Brad guy who's supposed to hack the computer, and he talks about it. All she talks about is you. And so they're both like, well, I've kind of been being an asshole. You know, they don't say it, but you can see it. He breaks the phone.
I like it. She gives them, so they have the envelope of,
Yeah.
Blackmail photos.
Right.
But it didn't mean anything to them. It didn't help them in any way. But she's wise enough to be like, well, I'm going to have you keep these because we need to have something. Oh, she doesn't tell her. She says that they're dick pics.
Right. Right. And I didn't think that, I didn't think that was a good idea, Tiff. I said, she might look if she all by herself. You know, I was like, oh, it might not have been good. But she keeps it with the friend, and they decide to go to this party because it's supposed to be a black tie affair. So because it's supposed to move their case along.
That's where the doctor is. That's where they say his doctor is going to be. But really, it's because the phone app opened up and gave a location.
Right. So they go there, and it turns out it's some kind of secret society thing.
I loved this. I love secret societies. And the only it's called the Sacrarium, and the only thing that upsets me about this movie is that I don't get to find out more about the Sacrarium, and I don't get to see them taken down.
Well, right, everybody's in there, and they have everybody has mask on and shit, and then there's a big orgy, and for some reason our heroine is all into orgies and shit like that. So, so she's so distracted about this stuff, and you know, and then one of the bicycle, I imagine, was one of the people that was supposed to be there. Was it bicycle or was it somebody else? Because they scanned the document.
I think the ID badge. Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
My understanding of this situation, which is, I mean, it's not really that important, but my understanding is that the bicycle,
mm-hmm.
was an intermediary.
Right.
Who has information on his phone for like meetup and drop off purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used his passcode to enter the Sacrarium.
Right. Okay.
And they were alerted that passcode had been used, even though he was not supposed to be there. Like maybe they already knew he was dead or whatever.
Right. Now, here's the real funny thing about this group is that, yeah, this shit happens. They got, you know, pictures of them with masks on and stuff. This big orgy happens. But I don't think this group is like some power broker group. I just think they get together and do orgies and dumb shit like this, man. I don't think it's anything more to it. But, you know, you got...
Well, they're all high powerful people.
Right. You got prominent people involved in this stuff, and you got blackmail going on. So somebody tipped the cops and the cops show up. Everybody scatters and they're the only two people to get busted. Now, this was a part of the movie that I found very refreshing, because they pulled them in a police precinct and the cops already knew who they were and knew that they weren't innocent they were not guilty because of, you know, traffic cams and things like that. And I was like, of course, you know, but I just assumed that the director was suspending your disbelief of that they would just be like busted like that, you know. And so
right.
I liked that. And everybody was, you know, I like the people who was watching them in the mirror talking about, I hope they, you know, I'm rooting for them, you know. Shit was crazy.
Right.
I'm rooting for this couple. And then, like, the detective comes in and she started talking about the orgy and shit. You know, I just thought that part was really, really cool how they did that. So
yes, they get like motor mouth because they're relieved, and so they start just saying a bunch of stuff.
Shit was funny. Shit was funny. So they're gonna send him home with a cop, and I've assumed it would have been a patrolman, but next thing you know, they ended up in the car with mustache, the cop that's been killing everybody. He killed like what, maybe 16, 17 people that night. Goodness gracious. Dude, you are a mass murderer at this point, not even a serial killer. Goodness gracious. And so he has them, he's going to take them to the pier and shoot them and all this stuff with this goofy plan. Now, this fight that happens at the pier and them taking off the handcuffs and stuff, I liked it, Tef, because it didn't go overboard. You know, it wasn't like a long car chase through the city and I'm climbing up a building and hanging off and ooh, save me and shit like that, you know.
Right.
They basically was in a little bitty obscure place. You know, they burnt off the cuffs. They tried to fight. And our boy, you know, what was his name? Jorban? He couldn't fight worth shit. He just kept getting his ass whooped this whole movie. And that was kind of funny because it was consistent. He never got better. You know, the college kid was whooping his ass. And, you know, mustache was whooping his ass. And so as a couple, they beat this dude. And she ends up shooting the mustache. And he does the Jason the Friday the 13th. And, you know, he hits him in the head. But he's not dead.
Yes.
Which I noticed that, you know, he wasn't dead at the end.
Right. I think they wanted to preserve the innocence of our main characters. They want to have them had killed someone.
Did they kill anybody in this movie?
No.
No, she shot the guy, and they was all
right.
Broke up about her shooting the guy and stuff like that. And, you know, they get in the ambulance, and they kept having this running joke about having freaky deaky sex someplace, and they're getting carried off in an ambulance and decide to have freaky deaky sex in an ambulance. So you get a sense that they're gonna be okay at the end of this. So
right,
yes. So yeah, I found a lot of this movie to be trying. But
no, wait, at the end of the movie,
what happened?
One year later, they're on The Amazing Race.
Oh, I forgot all about that. You're right. So they were okay. Right. And they were still bickering and arguing the whole goddamn time.
Yes.
Which was I thought was realistic because you're not going to completely change. But right. And they hadn't won, but they were like at the end and stuff.
They'd ride horses.
Yeah. Right.
And it made Gibran upset.
Right. So they made it. And so, you know, if you see Date Night, it's like, this is pretty much Date Night, but an up-to-date version of Date Night. I challenge you to watch Date Night, Tiff. You'll probably love the hell out of it. And just remember, it came first.
Okay.
But, I mean, I did not enjoy this movie, but I did find some of the humor to be a little trying and some of it to be, you know, steady. But your thoughts?
I really liked it. It's an easy watch.
It was. It was. And I was very surprised to see that Netflix just snatched it. You know, everything else has been coming on, you know, video on demand, buy, here. But, you know, Netflix must have made a purchase that they couldn't, refuse, you know. Here, yeah. we'll buy your goddamn movie. How much you think you would have made? Done. We'll give you double, you know.
Shit. Right.
And so it's on Netflix right now, so if you watch this, then cool. If you haven't, if you just decided to listen to the podcast and, you know, it's right there on Netflix, you can watch that for free if you already paid a subscription. Here's something else, Tiff, I found out. Mm-hmm. You know, on the main show, Fans of Patrol, the main show that comes out on every Sunday, we were talking about HBO Max a lot because of the Justice League stuff.
Well, yes.
If you're an AT&T customer, HBO Max is free. So I'm an AT&T customer. I have UVerse. And so I downloaded today and looked at it, and it looks just like HBO Go.
What's the point?
Well, I guess they're going to have, you know, content
different
in the
stuff.
Future. But right now, it's a prettier version of HBO Go. I was like, do they have any original shows? They had a few original shows, you know, just a few.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, so it's free, so I'll take it. Also, I haven't cared to watch Apple Plus yet, but yesterday they're giving away a trials year subscription for free. So I signed up. Yeah, just
for
go.
Sure.
I just go.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're gonna charge you in a year if you keep it for $4.99 a month.
Idiots.
But
idiots.
I'll
never keep it.
Not now. It's a year for free. So that's some free stuff for y'all. If you got it, you're gonna get it if you have it, you know. Oh Jesus. So man, that's gonna do it, man. We came to do the damn thing and we got it done. I gotta come up with something different for this show, you know, some different catchphrases and stuff, because it's a totally different show, man. Oh Tiff. So anyway, man, I think that's it, right? I don't know what the hell. What are we doing this week on a Big Daddy show? We're doing Space Force. That's right.
Space Force,
which comes out on Friday. Ooh, god damn it! I missed the space launch today. I really wanted to see that. It was an hour ago. Damn. Anyway, I'm into shit like that, y'all. You know, I'm a nerd. I wanted to see the. I was really excited till I found out that Elon Musk is funded this whole thing. I don't like him, Tim. I don't like him.
Nobody likes him. He's garbage.
I don't like him at all. Anyway,
he is.
Anyway, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. Lock down. With me is my studious yet poetic yet sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff. Until the weekend.
It's been a midweek pleasure.
Indeed, and until Sunday.
Yep. Sunday.
We will be. On patrol.